Before I say anything, I just want to say that if you are squeamish, you might not want to watch this video, because there will be some pictures of lungs that have a blood clot in them and other organs of the body. In my opinion, it's nothing that bad, but I wanted to give you a warning regardless. This video is a follow-up to my last video, which was called What Doctors Are Learning from Autopsy Findings of COVID Patients. Just after I published that video, not even a day later, this study came out, published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, which I'll put a link in the description below. And what makes this study such a big deal is that it's the first study that looked at this many autopsies of patients who died of COVID. Not only did they do complete autopsies, but they used CT scans to scan the entire body for blood clots. All 12 of the deceased had tested positive for SARS coronavirus 2 by means of RT-PCR. Now I want to say something. Not everyone on this planet is going to get COVID. For those who do get the virus, 80% of them will have either mild or no symptoms. Roughly 15 to 20% of them will have pneumonia. Roughly 4% will develop ARDS, or acute respiratory distress syndrome, and or shock with multi-organ failure. And about 1% will die of the infection. When I'm in the ICU and someone dies, it's obviously horrible. Sometimes autopsies have to be done irrespective of family consent when it's a legal matter. Rarely, depending on the circumstances, we ask families permission to do an autopsy. Most families decline the option for autopsy. But during this pandemic, it's especially important for autopsies to be done because they often provide incredibly valuable information, especially when we still know so little about COVID, especially when it can present in so many different ways. So in this study that was done in Germany, autopsies were mandated for patients who died of COVID. And to the families of those victims of COVID, my condolences. And we're still trying to figure out why some people do so poorly when they get the virus, while others do just fine, and then there's everyone in between. So the point of this video is not to scare people. The point is to learn about the disease and to ultimately benefit from that learning with the hope of developing treatment options and ultimately reduce morbidity and mortality. In other words, to save lives. And by making this video, the goal is to educate myself and others about what we're learning and getting the medical truth out there to the public. So in this study, there were 12 patients total, 9 men, 3 women, and the median age was 73. All patients had some type of pre-existing medical condition. Most of them had obesity and/or underlying heart disease, such as coronary heart disease. Some had type 2 diabetes, hypertension, peripheral artery disease, asthma, COPD. Initial lab tests revealed elevated levels of D-dimer, lactate dehydrogenase, meaning LDH, and C-reactive protein, or CRP. All of these are non-specific markers of inflammation. There is also mild thrombocytopenia in some patients, meaning low platelet counts. This isn't an unusual finding in patients who are critically ill. They also looked at levels of viral RNA using RT-PCR studies. All 12 patients had the SARS coronavirus 2 RNA in their lungs. 9 out of the 12 had it in their throat, and 6 had it in their bloodstream. In 5 patients, they had viral RNA in other tissues like heart, liver, brain, and kidney. Not only did they have the virus there, but the levels were higher in those tissues compared to the blood. Here's a picture from a different autopsy that was not part of this study, where the virus was actually visualized in the kidney using electron microscopy. So what is this telling us? It tells us that the virus is binding to those ACE2 receptors in those organs. So in some people who die of COVID, they had the virus in other organs besides the lungs. But, and this is a big but, they did not die as a result of that virus being in those different organs. They died as a result of lung complications. Also, an important takeaway from this is that all 12 had it in their lungs and 9 out of the 12 had it in their throat. So when you go to do a throat swab of someone who has COVID, the virus might not even be there. And that's just another reason why you can get a false negative test. Okay, so they also did post-mortem CT scans of these patients, which demonstrated mixed patterns of reticular infiltrations and severe, dense consolidations in both lungs. This CT scan is a patient with COVID pneumonia and ARDS, not from this study that we're talking about now, but basically demonstrating the exact same thing. Both lungs have extensive consolidations, ground glass opacities, which represent extensive inflammation. These are also known as pulmonary infiltrates. And you can see the difference compared to a normal CT scan of the chest, which doesn't have any pulmonary infiltrates. In 4 cases out of the 12, massive pulmonary embolism, meaning massive blood clots in the pulmonary arteries, was the cause of death. In another 3 cases out of the 12, they had blood clots in their large veins of their legs, meaning DVT, without having pulmonary embolism. So in 6 of the 9 men, they had clots in the veins that surround the prostate gland. In all 12 cases, the cause of death was found within the lungs or the pulmonary vascular system, meaning within the pulmonary arteries. For the ones who didn't die of having a large pulmonary emboli, they died of the extensive inflammation within the lungs, meaning pneumonia with ARDS. In these cases, the lungs were wet and heavy, much like a sponge that is saturated with water. The surfaces of the lung often had a distinct patchy pattern, with pale areas alternating with slightly protruding and firm, deep reddish-blue, hypercapillarized areas. This is indicative of areas of intense inflammation with endothelial dysfunction that can be seen at the microscopic level. When they look at slices of the lungs under the microscope, they found diffuse alveolar damage in 8 cases out of 12. Specifically, they saw hyaline membrane formation, tiny clots in the capillaries, and capillaries that were engorged with red blood cells and other inflammatory findings. All these findings represent ARDS. They also found lymphocytes, a type of white blood cell, that infiltrated these specific tissues. This fits the picture of a viral pathogenesis. They also looked at the pharynx of these patients, meaning the throat. The lining of the throat, or the mucosa, was hyperemic, meaning very red and irritated, and at the microscopic level, they saw lymphocytes invading there as well, again, which is consistent with viral infection. In one case, a patient had lymphocytes invade his heart muscle, findings that are consistent with what we call viral myocarditis. In other words, the heart muscle had evidence of viral infection. More than half the patients in this study had large blood clots. 1/3 of the patients had pulmonary embolism as the direct cause of death. All the others died of intense inflammation in their lungs related to pneumonia and ARDS. Recently, there's been studies showing that about 1/3 of patients with severe COVID have blood clots. Another study of 191 patients with COVID-19, half of those who died had clots compared with 7% of the survivors. And levels of D-dimer that were greater than 1,000 were associated with the fatal outcome. So it's pretty clear now that SARS-CoV-2 virus is causing a lot of clots to form in moderate to severe COVID disease. But how is this happening? It's likely a combination of reasons that have to do with downregulation of the ACE2 receptor in the lung alveoli, with a subsequent shift towards having more angiotensin 2 in the lungs and less angiotensin 1-7 and less angiotensin 1-9 in the lungs. And when this happens, this leads to more cytokine storm with more inflammation, more constriction of pulmonary arteries, and more clots that develop. That in turn leads to more endothelial dysfunction in the capillaries that surround the alveoli. Also, there's evidence that the virus attaches to the ACE2 receptors of the endothelial cells that line those capillaries, which further propagates inflammation and clotting. And in the cytokine storm that develops there, Rantes, a chemokine, binds to the CCR5 receptor of CD4 and CD8 lymphocytes, and that causes those lymphocytes to infiltrate those areas of inflammation, and in doing so, further contributes towards the inflammatory reaction. This is why we're seeing low levels of CD4 and CD8 lymphocytes in severe COVID. Endothelial damage can also lead to the development of antiphospholipid antibodies, and these antibodies are bad because they trigger the formation of blood clots. And that's why patients who have clots with the diagnosis of antiphospholipid antibody syndrome, they need to be on blood thinners. Also, 11 out of the 12 patients in the study had underlying heart disease and were obese. These are known risk factors not just for cardiovascular disease, but also known risk factors for endothelial dysfunction and are known risk factors for COVID. The endothelium is more susceptible to damage based on cardiovascular risk factors, such as men age 45 or older, women age 55 or older, smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, obesity, and lack of physical activity. So the big takeaways from the findings in this study is that most people who die of COVID, it's primarily a lung problem, either related to inflammation with ARDS, and or blood clots. Even though blood thinners are not a cure for COVID per se, they do have the potential to save lives. The hard part is figuring out who is likely to develop clots and who should we give blood thinners to, and which blood thinners should we give, and should we give high doses of blood thinners or just the low dose prophylactic doses. To further complicate matters, it's often hard to diagnose blood clots in hospitalized patients even before COVID came along. Usually it's easy to diagnose large blood clots in the veins of the legs, meaning DVT, by doing an ultrasound of the legs, even though ultrasound isn't 100% accurate. The way we typically diagnose pulmonary emboli is by getting a CT scan of the chest, while at the same time giving IV contrast, and this is called a CT angio, or a CTA of the chest. The downside to doing this, well, there's several. One, you have to transport a patient to the CT scanner, and sometimes patients aren't stable enough to do that. Two, you risk spreading the virus to others in the hospital by transporting that patient, and this will also require more PPE use. Three, CT scans require larger doses of radiation. Four, giving someone IV contrast has some risks, such as the risk of serious allergic reaction and the risk of causing some kidney damage. On top of that, the CTA of the chest can only visualize bigger clots, so you might not see the small clots that are there. Right now, more and more hospitals are giving high-dose blood thinners to COVID patients who have severe disease, even if they haven't been diagnosed as having blood clots. But what about patients without moderate or severe COVID? Should they take a blood thinner or maybe a low-dose blood thinner? Or should they take an antiplatelet medication like aspirin, either 81 milligrams of aspirin or 162 milligram dose or 325 milligram dose? Or should the general public take a low-dose aspirin like 81 milligrams in order to help prevent blood clots from forming if they do get COVID? Or should it just be certain people in the population who are at higher risk of getting severe COVID? Should they take aspirin? These are the questions we don't know the answers to at this point. It's going to take a lot of studies to answer these questions, because not only do we need to know that there's a benefit in doing so, we have to know that these benefits will outweigh the risks, such as the risk of bleeding. And then there's all the other drugs that are being looked at right now in randomized controlled trials. We should start seeing some of these results pretty soon. What we do know is that in order to improve the capillary endothelium, and also to minimize your chances of having severe disease if you were to get COVID, you want to do several things. This includes exercise, eating healthy, getting good sleep, minimizing stress, not smoking. What about vaping? Generally not good either, but not as bad as smoking. Too much alcohol, not good either. Have your medical conditions under control, whether that's diabetes, high blood pressure, COPD, asthma, allergies, whatever the case may be. Now, what about vitamin D? Probably a good thing, but that's a whole nother topic, which I should make my next video on because there's a lot to say about that, and possibly other vitamins too, if you're deficient in certain vitamins. Anyway, to catch that video, subscribe to this channel and hit that bell notification so you know when I post here on YouTube. So many topics I want to cover in so little time, but I will see you in the next one.